ಶಂಕರಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತೆ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತೀ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೆ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರವ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸೋ ವಿ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಟುಡೇ ಫ್ರಮ್ 10th ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 75 ವರ್ಸಸ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ಲಾಟ್ ಆಫ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಟು ಕವರ್ 23-30 ಸೋ ಲೆಟ್ಸ್ Should we chant all of them together so we save time? We got 8 verses to cover.
Bandhunyati nipan mitra surudo nyamsa sarvasha abhikshnam pujayamasa narayana paronupaha.
In various ways, King Yudhishthir, who had totally dedicated his life to Lord Narayan, continuously honored his relatives, his immediate family, the other kings, his friends and well-wishers, and all others present as well.
Sarve jana sura rucho manikundala srag ushnisha kanchuka dukula mahagyahara naryascha kundala yugalaka vrinda dushta vatra shriya
All the men there shone like demigods. They were adorned with jeweled earrings, flower garlands, turbans, waistcoats, silk dhotis, and valuable pearl necklaces. The lovely faces of the women were beautified by their matched earrings and locks of hair, and they all wore golden belts.
ಅಥಾತ್ವಿಜೋ ಮಹಾಶೀಲ ಸದಸ್ಯ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮವಾದಿನ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಕ್ಷತ್ರಿಯ ಭಿಕ್ಷುದ್ರ ರಾಜನೋ ಯೇ ಸಮಾಗತ ದೇವರ್ಷಿ ಪಿತೃಭೂತಾನಿ ಲೋಕಪಾಲ ಸಹಾನುಗಾ ಪೂಜಿತಾಸ್ತಂ ಅನುಜ್ಞಾಪ್ಯ ಸ್ವಧಾಮಾನೀಯೋ ನೃಪ.
Then the highly cultured priests, the great Vedic authorities who had served as sacrificial witnesses, the specially invited kings, the brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, demigods, sages, forefathers and mystic spirits, and the chief planetary rulers and their followers, all of them, having been worshipped by King Yudhishthir, took his permission and departed, O king, each for his own abode.
ಹರಿದಾಸಸ್ಯ ರಾಜರ್ಷೇ ರಾಜಸೂಯ ಮಹೋದಯಾಂ ನೈವಾತ್ರಿಪ್ಯಂ ಪ್ರಶಂಸಂತಃ ಪಿಬನ್ ಮರ್ತ್ಯೋಮೃತಂ ಯಥಾ.
As they all glorified the wonderful Rajasuya Yajna performed by that great saintly king and servant of Lord Hari, they were not satiated, just as an ordinary man is never satiated when drinking nectar.
ತೋ ಯುಧಿಷ್ಠಿರೋ ರಾಜ ಸುಹೃತ್ ಸಂಬಂಧಿ ಬಾಂಧವಾನ್ ಪ್ರೇಮ್ನಾ ನಿವಾರಯಾಮಾಸ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಚ ತ್ಯಾಗ ಕಾತರಃ.
At that time, Raja Yudhishthir stopped a number of his friends, immediate family members, and other relatives from departing, among them Lord Krishna. Out of love, Yudhishthir could not let them go, for he felt the pain of imminent separation. भगवान अपि तत्रांग न्यावात् सिद्धप्रियंकरः प्रस्थाप्य यदुविरामश्च सम्मंश्च कुशस्थले. My dear Parikshit, the supreme lords remained there for some time to please the king after sending Samba and the other Yadu heroes back to Dwaraka. So this is the last one.
Ittham Raja Dharma Suto Manoratha Mahanavam Sudustaram Samuttirya Krishnena Sirgatajvaraha.
Thus King Yudhishthir, the son of Dharma, was at last relieved of his burning ambition, having by the grace of Lord Krishna successfully crossed the vast and formidable ocean of his desires. Purport. The previous chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam clearly explain that King Yudhishthira intensely desired to demonstrate to the world the supremacy of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the blessings received by those who surrendered to him. To do this, King Yudhishthir performed the Rajasuya sacrifice, a very difficult task. Srila Prabhupada writes in this connection, in the material world, everyone has a particular type of desire to be fulfilled, but one is never able to fulfill his desires to his full satisfaction. But King Yudhishthir, because of his unflinching devotion to Krishna, could fulfill all his desires successfully by the performance of the Rajasuya sacrifice. From the description of the Rajasuya Yajna, it appears that such a function is a great ocean of opulent desires. It is not possible for an ordinary man to cross over such an ocean. Nevertheless, by the grace of Lord Krishna, King Yudhishthir was able to cross over it very easily, and thus he became freed from all anxieties.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Venkha.
So, it was a very nice purport explaining how Krishna purifies the soul of material desires. What Maharaj Yudhishthira did was he used his desires in the service of Krishna. So, the Rajasiya Yajna Prabhupada describes is a sacrifice of opulent desires, being the king of the whole world. But Yudhishthir had the motive to glorify Krishna, so his selfish desires, if one could call them that, intersected with service. As a result, those selfish desires were purified. Now, today I thought I would discuss Yudhishthir Maharaj and different devotees like him who are in the mood of Sakhya. And I have a PowerPoint presentation here for those who are at the front. If you have to crane your necks, you might be craning them for 20 minutes. So I would suggest just move a little back if you like, so you can actually see. Can we go to the slideshow? This is the slideshow. If you press F4, I think you'll get into slideshow. Oh. Was that this? Oh, you can see? Okay, yeah, that's good. So the Sakhya Rasa, Sakhya means friendship. And this is called Prayo Bhakti Rasa in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So I'm going to cover the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and what Rupa Goswami explains about Sakhiras, friendship. So, everybody has friends here. Anybody who doesn't have a single friend? Everybody has friends. If you don't have a friend, talk to me. We'll make friendship. So, everybody has friends. So, what do you do with friends? When you're with them, what do? Yes. Play with them? Yes. Eat? Loudly? Have play dates. Yes. Anybody, just call out the names. Call out the, say out. You don't have to raise your hands. Help them. Sleepovers. Have fun with them. Eat candy. Go shopping. You go shopping with them? Yes. Talk about Krishna. Just don't raise your hand. Just call out the answers. Whatever you feel. Loudly.
Be nice.
Be nice. Yes.
Forgiving.
Yes. Can you play video games together already? Yeah, I guess you could. I thought you play one on... Okay, yeah. I'm outdated. Yes. Watch TV. Watch movies. Okay, so I think I got a good number of answers. Krishna movies. So, see, having friends is a lot of fun, isn't it? Everybody needs a friend. So now Krishna also has friends, and I'm going to tell you who his friends are and what they do. Just like you played video games or the shop, etc. In the same way, Krishna also enjoys with his friends. So let's look at that. So let's go to the next slide. Everybody can see the words? Yes, you can read it. Okay. So there is Krishna in one circle. And there is his friends in another circle. And the double-headed arrow there shows that there is a relationship between the two. Okay? So they might be playing, chatting, enjoying with each other. And so let's look at who his friends are. So Rupa Goswami does a systematic analysis and presents to us a way to understand Krishna's friends and Krishna's friendships with his relatives, with his friends. So, let's go to the next slide. So the first thing is that Krishna is attractive to those devotees who have the mood of Sakya. So what is it about Krishna that makes him attractive to them? I want some answers from you and then I'll tell you what Rupa Goswami says. So the question is, what is it about Krishna that makes him attractive to his friends? Now I'm not saying makes him attractive to his mother or servants, I'm talking about his friends. Yes. Loudly, his beauty, okay. Remember, we talked about his friends, yes. His playfulness, yes. His kindness, he loves his friends. Just call out the answer, there's so many answers. Let's just call, huh? Sleepiness, okay. How he goes and steals butter, yes. Huh? Being generous. Nodding. Naughty. Naughty, yes. Huh? Camping. I'm deaf. He likes to play music. Okay, so now let's look at, that's good. Now let's keep your answers in mind and go down the list of what Rupa Goswami says. So next one. He says Krishna knows many languages. So that's one of the things that, yes?
Hindu.
Hindu? Okay. So Krishna knows many languages. Okay, go on. He's talkative. He likes to talk a lot. Yes? He's quick-witted. He can immediately come back. If somebody says something, he can immediately say something back in response. He's skillful. Mm-hmm. Go on. He's very courageous, he's very brave, he's willing to do all kinds of things for his friends. He's a great dresser. He's jovial, he jokes a lot. And he's merciful. And he's also very strong. So these are the qualities, and there may be more, but Rupa Goswami lists these qualities as those that attract his friends. Now let's look at his friends. So there are two types of friends that Krishna has, broadly speaking. And you can categorize them further. And so Rupa Goswami does that analysis too. How many types of friends do you have? Yes? You have best friends and not so best friends? Huh? Cousins? Yes? Silly friends? Enemies? I'm talking about friends. Yes.
No friends.
Friends that steal your candy. Sundari, you had a hand up, yes?
Friends who are nice to you.
Okay. I have one last answer, yes. Shopping friends, yes, yes. Friends you can trust. Okay, so now let's look at the two types of friends. There are the city friends. Krishna has two types of friends. Krishna has two types of friends. One are the city friends and the other are the Vraja friends. Two types of friends. Okay, so go on. Now the Vraja friends can be further divided into four types of friends. There are the Surut, the Sakha, the Priya Sakha and the Priya Narma Sakha. And I'll tell you, give you examples of each of these types of friends and what their qualities are, what they do. Alright, let's go to the next one. So first we'll examine city friends. Krishna's friends who live in the city. Do you know which cities are mentioned in the Bhagavatam where Krishna has friends? Any names of cities? Sundari? Dwaraka. Yes? Huh? The name of a city? Mathura? Yes? Dwaraka? Any other city? Yes? Uddhava? No, I'm talking about city. Alachua? Maybe. I'm sure. Yeah. Hastinapur. Very good. So that's it. Thank you. Yes, we're on last one. Magad. Magad, okay. After comes, after who? Jarasandha dies, yeah. So, the examples of city friends, go on. Arjuna is a city friend. Now I'm giving you the answers. Hold on. Arjuna, Bhimasena, Sudama Brahmin, Nakula, Sahadev, Yudhishthir. Who are these people? Nakul, Sahadev, Yudhishthir. Who are they called? The Pandavas. So the Pandavas are city friends. Where do they live? Which city do they live in? Yes, Manu? Hastinapur for some time. Then Indraprastha. So Indraprastha is the one that is being discussed now. The Rajasuya sacrifice is being performed in Indraprastha. So these are the examples for Krishna's city friends. Go to the next one. Now what is the type of relation? I'm sorry, this is maybe a little small for you to read. But what is the type of relationship with his city friends? So, when Krishna, I'm going to read this. This is a verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and maybe it's quoted from the Bhagavatam. When Krishna arrived in Indraprastha, this is the Rajasuya sacrifice, Yudhishthir with unsteady mind immediately smelled his head. That's a way where elders offer affection to younger ones. In this culture that we are discussing. He smelled his head. Bhima and Arjuna, with hairs standing on end, embraced his iron arms, Krishna's arms. And Nakula and Sahadev fell at his lotus feet with tears in their eyes. In this way, the Pandavas, with hearts agitated with joy, impeded Krishna's entry into the city. So here what's happening is that the Yudhishthir, all the five Pandavas are in the mood of friendship with Krishna, but Yudhishthir behaves differently from him because Yudhishthir is an elder, he is older than Krishna. Of course, we know that the Pandavas and Krishna are cousins. Somebody mentioned cousins among friends. So they are cousins. Yudhishthir is older and Krishna, and although he is in the mood of friendship, it is mixed with a little bit of Vatsala Bhava. Vatsala means the mood of a parent, somebody who is elder. Now, wait, let's go back. So, but Arjuna and Bhima, they are embracing him because they are the same age, they consider him as equals, roughly the same age. And Nakula and Sahadeva are younger, and so although they are in the mood of friendship, but there is some amount of dasya, they respect him and they offer obeisances to him. With tears in the, but all of them have tears in their eyes, so they are in ecstasy. in the mood of friendship. Okay, so these are the city friends. Now the thing about city friends, those who are in the city, they know Krishna's position as God. So although they are in the mood of friendship, there is a mood of awe and reverence as well. It is not as familiar as the friends who are going to come in Vraja. We are going to go to the next one now. So these are the friends in Vraja. The friends in Vraja, I told you there are different types. So let's look at the Surit. The Surit have a touch of Vatsala Bhav. Now these are Vraja, not the city friends. And so these are older friends in Vraja Dham, and they protect Krishna, or at least they think that they are protecting Krishna. They are in the mood of protection. They carry weapons and Krishna obeys them. And here are some examples of such friends. Subhadra, Mandali Bhadra, Bhadravardhana, Gobhata, Yaksha, Indrabhata, Bhadranga, Veerabhadra, Mahaguna, Vijaya and Balaram. So Lord Balaram is the friend in the is the older person, and Lord Balaram protects Krishna. So when the Kaliya Leela was happening, at that time Balaram instructed Subala to tell Krishna not to go, because he was not able to come because it was his birthday. So but Subala delayed, you know, letting Krishna know, and that's why Krishna left. But if Krishna had known, he wouldn't have gone. So Krishna obeys Lord Balaram. And also these other Brajavasis are older. They are in the mood of friendship, but they have a touch of Vatsala Bhav. Let's go to the next one. These are the Sakhas. The Sakhas with a touch of Dasya. So these are younger friends. Younger friends, they massage his limbs, his feet. They fan him with a lotus leaf. They tidy his hair. They do things like this. And some of them are Vishala, Vrishabha, Ojaswi, Devaprastha. Devaprastha is the foremost of these. Varuthapa, Maranda, Kusumapira, Manibandha and Karandha. Karandhama. Karandhama. Maybe. Go to the next one. These are the Priya Sakhas. This is the third type of friends. These Sakhas are the same age as Krishna. And they give pleasure to Krishna by hand-to-hand combat, stick fighting and other sports. So they think there is no difference between them and Krishna. Okay, it's pure friendship. And they make jokes, they sneak up on Krishna and play tricks on him. You know, they really do, they think that they can defeat him. And they many times succeed in defeating him in hand-to-hand combat. So they think he is just one of them. There is no conception of Krishna's position as God in these Sakhas. The foremost of these is Shri Dham. We've heard this name many times. And then there are others. Dham, Vasudham, Kinkiri, Stoka Krishna, Amshu, Bhadrasena, Vilasi, Pundarika, Vitanka and Kalabinka. These are the names that are described in the Rupa, by Rupa Goswami. But of course we know that there are infinite such relationships Krishna has with his devotees. But these are the representatives in Vraja Dham. Okay, let's go. So here's an example of what Shri Dham thinks about Krishna. He's saying, Bhadrasena is one of the friends. He says, "Oh wimpy Bhadrasena, I am Shri Dham. Do not be afraid of seeing my arm thick like an elephant's trunk. Today I will defeat Balaram in a mock battle and then challenge Krishna to fight." So this is the Veera Rasa. Now there are 7 secondary rasas and there are 5 primary rasas. And some of the secondary rasas, they promote deeper relishing of the pastimes in whatever primary rasa one may be in. So this is Shri Dham displaying Veera Rasa. Veera Rasa means, you know, he wants to fight and show that he is superior to Krishna. Okay, so then the last one, this is the Priya Narma Sakha. They are also the same age as Krishna, but their role is different. They are not those that fight or play, but they have most confidential pastimes. So for example, these friends, they help Krishna's girlfriends achieve their goal of serving Krishna. So the example is of Subala. He is whispering information about Radharani in Krishna's ear. Or some gopi wants to give Krishna something. They might pass on a garland or some item to a Priya Narma Sakha, and then they will convey that item to Krishna. So these are the ways that the Priya Narma Sakhas serve Krishna. The foremost among them are Subala and Ujjvala, and then there are others like Gandharva and Vasanta. Okay, is there any more slides? No, that's it. We're done. Short presentation. So, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami explains all these things. Now, why is it relevant for us to understand the depths of the different categories of friends and what they're doing and all these things? So, there are many ways of understanding this. One is that just the hearing of these pastimes purifies us. If we say these names of Krishna's friends even, anybody who's in Krishna's pastimes, if we meditate on them, if we think about them with our minds, then it purifies us. Shunavatam Swagatha Krishna, as you know. The other is to give a more enticing, fuller description of Krishna so we can become more and more attracted to him. Try to go into more and more depth and try to understand with our intellect to the extent we can what's going on in Krishna Leela. The third is more practical, and that is at the level of how this can directly help us in our bhakti. So there are two paths in sadhana bhakti. One is the vaidhi bhakti and the other is raganuga bhakti. In raganuga bhakti, one still hears in chants, but one takes on the mood of the devotees in Vrajadham. So of the ragatmika bhakti, in ragatmika bhakti, there are further two classifications. And one of the classifications is sambandha raganuga bhakti. So that can be in these different moods of vatsalya or of sakya or of dasya. So that is why Rupa Goswami goes to this detail, because Yudhishthira Maharaj and all the city friends are not the exemplars that are to be followed in raganuga bhakti. They are because of the fact that they have a tinge of or a pretty significant mix of reverence, awe and reverence in their worship. So Rupa Goswami recommends following those who are in Vraja. And those who are in Vraja are these four types of sakhas in one sadhana. So that's also one aspect of why Rupa Goswami analyzes this in such depth. This is giving us a glimpse into the relationships and then giving us instructions on how to follow the moods of these Vrajavasis in Raganuga Bhakti. So with that I will conclude and then open it up to comments, questions, discussion. Ragatmika Mataji at the back.
Thank you for this nice presentation.
Thank you.
I didn't hear you mention Madhu Mangal.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but I didn't find him in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu's verses. I don't know why. Or maybe I skipped him. I looked for him. But.
And I'm curious, why is Sudan Brahman a city friend?
Yeah, that also I was thinking about. So they were students together. But then when Krishna's later pastime manifests, then Sudama Brahmin is visiting him when he's king. And so he has that mood of awe and reverence. And that's where, I mean, that pastime, which is going to come up actually in a few chapters, is famous. And I think, so that's why maybe the predominant mood of Sudama is in the mood of respect, where he knows Krishna is supreme, but also in the Sakyaras. And so that's why I think he's mentioned as city friend. So it may not necessarily have to do with their location per se, but rather, you know, when they're interacting with Krishna, what form of Krishna they're interacting with. Are they in the Pauganda Leela? You know, are they in the Vraja Leela where Krishna is young and having fun with his friends? Or are they when having relationships predominantly when he's king? So, thank you. Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned that in the Raga Nuga stage, one enters into or begins to enter into the mood of Raj. Can you speak a little more about that?
This is a complex topic. It's not easy to navigate the explanations that Rupa Goswami gives. But the thing that stands out for me, and this also is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where there are categorical statements from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on how Raganuga Bhakti is the only way. So we have two different, it seems, or distinct paths of sadhana. One is the Vaidhi Bhakti process, which is under scriptural injunctions, where bhakti is performed in accordance, in deference to, and because of scriptural injunctions. And from what I glean from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the result of Vaidhi Bhakti can be bhava and prema bhakti, but there is a predominance of awareness of Krishna's position, like Yudhishthira Maharaj or Bhima. So there is a predominance of the awareness of Krishna's position as God in that prema and bhava, the final stage of Vaidhi Bhakti. In Raganuga Bhakti, because the devotee is following the path of the Vajavasis, then he gets, when successful, bhava and prema, that is in Goloka Vrindavan. That's the only way, only in quotes, because I'm sure this is much more complex, to get to the Goloka Vrindavan. And in fact, Rupa Goswami mentions in his discussion on Raganuga Bhakti that if one worships Radha and Krishna in the mode of awe and reverence, then one doesn't really go to Goloka Vrindavan per se, where there is madhurya, sweetness. But rather one goes to, there is a specific corner in Goloka Vrindavan where Radha and Krishna are worshipped in the mode of awe and reverence. So, yeah, that is the presentation of Rupa Goswami, and that's also the presentation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, according to my understanding. One more, he has a further question.
Can we bring it down to earth and talk about maybe a little bit practically how we as devotees in our sadhana can begin to enter into that mood, or try to enter into that mood?
So, you know, some are of the opinion that the Raganuga Bhakti will come. Because, see, our process is actually almost exclusively Vaidhi Bhakti. Prabhupada gave us very clear instructions on how to perform Bhakti. And Prabhupada's instructions, even for worshipping Radha and Krishna, were in the mode of awe and reverence. So that is what we have to do. It is not like being an option. Because we are in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, and this is Prabhupada's program. Now, the Raganuga Bhakti, according to my understanding in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is not something that is achieved. It is in parallel. It is a separate process almost. Doesn't matter what stage we are in. It is a process of sadhana. It still involves hearing and chanting. It still involves understanding, studying the scripture. But it's just the mood is different. At least somebody is trying to enter the mood. But there are all kinds of rules and regulations for that also. For example, one can't consider oneself Subala. I am Subala now. That's offensive. That's Advaitavada. So what should we as practicing devotees do? I think ISKCON's structure, because Prabhupada wanted it so, is Vaidhi Bhakti. And individuals, as they go deeper into Shastra, at least this is my take on it, as they go individually into Shastra and they find this information that Prabhupada also has in his Nectar of Devotion, and if Prabhupada has translated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they can do this on an individual level. But it is not something that they ought to be advocating to anybody. It's a private thing. It's a private thing. So my view is that we study scripture, we follow Vaidhi Bhakti, and internally, it's an internal process. If one is so inclined, one has that inclination, they can be Raganu, they could perform Raganu. That's my view. Tamha Prabhu.
Yeah, it is a fact that the two different paths, which are actually both part of sadhana, Vaidhi and Raganuga, are given in the Nectar Devotion. And sometimes it almost appears as though there's a choice of doing one or the other. But in reality, you know, it's more of a transition. And Srila Prabhupada gives that example of the transition between Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga. In fact, he gives the example. He says in the beginning, you know, one may have to rise as early in the morning and they order the spiritual master. The alarm goes off when he gets up and goes to Mangalartik, not particularly out of spontaneous desire, but because that's as you said, the scriptural injunction and the order of the guru. And then Prabhupada said that as one advances in Krishna consciousness, one more spontaneously has the attraction. You know, that desire and that attraction comes to wanting to spontaneously reform the practices of hearing and chanting. It's still within the process of sadhana. I mean, this is before the stage of bhava, prema, very high stages. You know, but my understanding has always been that as one advances in Krishna consciousness, this more or less naturally comes about. And I think one thing you said is very important. It's a very internal process. And those devotees who do have some spontaneous attraction, or they have, if they are at some higher, you know, stage of Krishna consciousness, it's not something that one openly speaks about. It's an internal process. And we see that the example of the acharyas and Srila Prabhupada specifically is that they always act on this platform of the Majjhima platform, which is one of performing one's sadhana for the to provide example and inspiration for others. You know, so it's not a light thing or an easy thing.
I mean, of course, there are the pitfalls. Very good reasons Prabhupada didn't delve into this, because these are degenerated in India. You can see that, of course. People who don't have any, Prabhupada gave the example that that a person in Vrindavan would swoon on the streets and roll in the dust with tears in his eyes, and then 2 minutes later he's at the cigarette stand smoking a cigarette and drinking chai. So, as sadhakas, we have to understand where we are. We all know where we are internally. If we don't, we should analyze and see where we are. My view is that if we chant 16 rounds, that in itself is such a great austerity that we should just pray, thank you Prabhupada for at least giving this. If we become bhaktas like Yudhishthir Maharaj in bhava and prema, I don't see a problem with that. But if we become somebody like that person, then we are just pretenders, hypocrites, sahajiyas, and we fall down. That was Prabhupada's main concern. He was very sensitive to that and he saw that. But now this doesn't mean that Prabhupada's process is not working. People are becoming purified. His books are out there. We are becoming a mature movement. And so while at an institutional level, these things, we can certainly discuss them from an analytical point of view, which is what we're doing now. We can discuss what's in our Shastra, because if we don't, who is going to discuss it? You know, I see this body of people that criticize ISKCON. Oh, Prabhupada didn't teach you what the real path is. He didn't teach you Raganuga Bhakti. He just gave you Vaidhi Bhakti. But that's not true. These are from Prabhupada's books that we are getting all of this. And why should anybody lay claim to anything in the Bhakti Shastra, which is somehow, you know, we are excluded from it? It's not true. But we are careful. We follow our acharyas and we approach it with caution. Cigarette smoking is injurious to health, you know, we have the big warning sign. So we approach it with caution, but at the same time, we understand that there are those amongst us who might be performing this kind of bhakti internally, while externally sticking to rigorous Vaidhi bhakti. So it's a really individual process. It is how much we have advanced and how much one is willing to go into the depths of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and things like that. I mean, certainly one shouldn't be so, in my view, these are all my views, certainly one shouldn't be so much in, so much afraid that one is not willing to consider this, or one is not able to study it, one is not able to, and then one pass aspersions on those that may be doing it. Although, like I said, it's private and it's internal. It's very hard to get into the depths of this topic on an institutional level. You know, when the Chaitanya Charitamrita was being written, or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was being explained, it wasn't being broadcast on the internet, tens of thousands and maybe millions of people having access to this knowledge. So now if somebody who doesn't have Prabhupada's direction comes upon this literature, he'll pick on the raga Nunga Bhakti and become a Sahajiya. That's the problem. So externally Vaidhi Bhakti and internally raga Nunga mood is what seems to me to be the right of some of us who are advanced. Matajanis.
One of the nine processes of devotional service is Sakyam. Mm. Can you shed some light on how we can realize that or apply?
So the nine processes of devotional service, they are under Vaidhi Bhakti, but they are also classified in Raga Nuga. So they are both. It's not that Sakya can't be in Vaidhi, and it's not that this can't be in. So when one study, you know, Surudam Sarva Bhutana Nyatva Man Shanti Mruchiti, Prabhupada will constantly say that Krishna is everybody's benefactor, Krishna is everybody's friend. So the understanding this can come under the purview of Vaidhi Bhakti. The interesting thing is Shravanam Kirtanam is also part of, can, is a anga of Raganuga Bhakti also. Yeah. Shravanam and Kirtanam can also be an anga in Raganuga Bhakti. So these categories overlap. That's my understanding of what I've studied in DRS. But the thing about the Sakya in Raga Nuga Bhakti is the focus, exclusive focus on Vraja, inhabitants of Vraja, which is complete familiarity with Krishna without the awe and reverence in it. In Vaidhi Bhakti, the understanding of Sakya would be Krishna, Surudam Sarva Bhutana Amyatamam Shantim Vichya. That would be the understanding of Sakya in Vaidhi Bhakti. Sure. Keshapu.
I was going to ask, another type of friend is, if we hear about is Bandhu.
Bandhu.
Where does that fall within the Sohita?
Bandhu, the Sanskrit word Bandhu has many different connotations. It's really contextual. There is no one. Like, for example, Dvija Bandhu. Now, a Brahmin son who is not a Brahmin is called a Dvija Bandhu. It doesn't mean that he is his father's brother, you know. So the word Bandhu has to do with what the context is. I can't give you a general answer to that. But Bandhu can mean friend. Bandhu can mean brother. Bandhu can mean somebody who is favorable to someone else. That kind of. Ramya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. In this categorization of friends, mm-hmm. The Priya Sakha, Priya Narma Sakha, mm-hmm. is there like a degree of intimacy difference there, or is it just mood?
Clearly the intimacy is different. So the secondary moods become mixed with the primary moods. So Veera Rasa is one type of mood, but Madhura can also be mixed into Sakya Rasa. So actually there is, I had it on my computer, let's see if I can boot this. But there are, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is discussed how some are. So Madhura, Hasya and Yuddha Veera Rasa, these are the friends of Sakya Rasa. This is in the DRS. And Vatsala Rasa, Raudra Rasa, Bhayanaka Rasa, directed to Krishna, are the enemies of Sakya Rasa. So if you have Madhura mixed with Sakya, which is the case with the Priyam Narma Sakhas, then it is more intimate, because Madhura is by definition more intimate. Definitely true. But it is still a secondary rasa. It's not like the Madhura rasa of the gopis, but it's mixed with the primary rasa of Sakya.
So do these friendships develop at certain ages?
Yeah, so Krishna is going from the Bala Roop, you know, Krishna manifests his Madhurya pastimes. He doesn't do that in the Balya stage. So when he goes from, that's why the Acharyas analyze the Balya, the Pauganda, the Kaishora ages. And so Madhurya is predominant in Kaishora, where Krishna is, his beauty is the Vayam Kaishora Kam Dhyayam, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Puri Madhupuri Vara, Shamam Evam Paramam Rupam, Vayam Kaishorakam Dheyam Adhya Eva Pararasaha. So the Shama Rupa, the best form of Krishna is the Shama Rupa. Puri Madhupuri Vara, Braja and Mathura and Vrindavan, these are his, these are the best, highest dhams. And then Vaya Kaishorakam Dheyam, and his age, the most beautiful age is Kaishora. And that is because of the Madhurya Bhava that becomes to manifest in. Reaches its zenith in the Kaishorya Bhava. So, from that point of view, Priya Narma Sakhas would demonstrate that in that age, but it wouldn't come before.
So, like in the best time where Krishna is stealing the garments of the gopis, he's little, they're too young.
They're young, but I mean, it's not like, they're not, what is the word? They're continuum, they're a continuum, they're not discrete steps. So it's not like Kaishora is not manifest in the previous age, in the Pauganda. Madhurya is not manifest in Pauganda. But there is a continuum. It reaches its zenith in Kaishora. So it's hard to just categorize them discreetly. At this age, this is not going to happen. This age is going to happen. But the predominance increases as you go forward. That's my understanding. Thank you very much. Nitaya Gaur Premanande.